Folks at home, welcome back to a brand new episode of Ike Live here on a wonderful, glorious Friday night. We've got a great show tonight. We've had Kevin Van Dam just on our first segment. Great insight from Kevin about what's going on with him and what's going on in the sport right now with this crazy world. And in just a second, we've got an amazing angler joining us. Cody Meyer is coming on the show to fill us in on what's going on with him as well. Yes. Real quick, before we get Cody on, do want to catch up with a couple housekeeping things. Want to remind you, if you're watching over at Facebook, please like and share the feed. If you do that, Riz, they're entered in a contest to win the world-famous Ike Live gift bag. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that thing is absolutely chock-loaded, full.
Load it.
With great prizes and sponsorship packages. It's really good stuff.
What's up, front runner to zoom in?
So right now we have a few people on that are really separating themselves from the crowd. We have the other VD. Other VD has come in strong. Travis Manson's unkept hair has just made a recent submission that got him in the game. And as always, the Wawa Hoagie Lady is always making a strong push. So we're going to keep our eyes on this thing, monitor it till the gritty end of this segment.
Yes.
And then we'll come up with the decision.
Okay. And let me also remind you that after we talk to Cody in the final, third and final segment, we will be doing a first here on Ike Live. Brian, I'm a little intimidated, a little worried. A little bit. I'm a little anxious about we're going to patch through a couple of you watching right now via Zoom.
I'd say we just post the Zoom link right here on the screen and let everybody crash it.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Let's start with a couple, and then we could build to that. Also, want to remind everybody, and I've got an update here. We are getting really close to the Aaron Martin's charity tournament.
Yes.
It's benefiting the whole family that's coming up here. It's a benefit tournament auction. Let me give you the info here real quick. It starts tomorrow, October 3rd through 18th. The entry fee is only $50. All the proceeds, not like 50 or 60 or 70, 100% of that $50 goes toward Aaron and to help with what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on with Aaron. And they've got a lot of cool stuff over there. They've got a tournament going on, a virtual tournament. They're doing some great auctions for prizes, Dave, over there. And all you have to do is download the app, which is ConnectScale.com. So go to ConnectScale.com, download that app, and then you can enter that Aaron Martin's benefit tournament auction. And Aaron's an awesome guy.
Aaron's the best, dude.
Yeah, we're
everything we could do to help him.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and why don't we just give it away real quick? We're gonna have Aaron here on the show in November on our Thanksgiving show. Can't wait to have Aaron, on the show.
Yeah, Aaron has been, and Mike, you know this. I've been told you from day one. We had been trying to get Aaron in studio for years.
Yeah,
it's a little tough. He doesn't like to fly, so
right.
It was tough to kind of coordinate with your busy schedule and his.
Yeah,
so. But we're gonna try to get him on here in November and talk to him.
It's going
to
be good.
Dude, so, he's such a cool dude. Love that guy.
Great guy. So check that out, please. And then speaking of West Coast anglers that have dominated, right? You look at the list. You've got Aaron Martins. You've got Skeet Reese, of course. You've got you've got some great guys. You've got some D. Thomas, some of the guys that have changed the sport. Ish Monroe. There's so many. Brett Height.
Fred Rumbanis.
Yeah, Boom Boom. You know, even though he's in Oklahoma, he's a West Coast guy.
Well,
he's in Oklahoma, but he's a West Coast guy. So many West Coast anglers that have come in the sport.
Who's singing this?
What is that?
That's Cody's intro song. He requested
it. I like it.
What walk-in music?
That's better. Wow. That's Better Off Beaten Off by Wheeler Walker Jr.
Look at that. We've never had a guest come in an intro song, but here we did. Another first on the show tonight. Joining us now, one of the West Coast anglers that's changing the game, Cody Meyer. Join us. Yes. Cody.
Yeah, finish that last line, Cody.
We've never had a guy come into a song before. This is crazy.
Hey, honestly, I didn't know I was going to have a song, but I'm thankful I did right there.
That, we might have to start that as a new trend. I don't know. I liked it.
I like Walker Wheeler's I Like My Pussy in Boots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody you're going to have to give the song My Milkshake Brings All the Boys in the Yard, right? Just surprise them. Just come up, say it, sing it, embarrass them. And,
yes!
And welcome to the show.
Who would you like that to be, Cody?
I'm thinking like a Luke Clawson or something.
Oh, dude, we need to get Luke on. Luke, that's a good Luke song.
We've never had him on.
We've never had Luke on.
That song? I never heard that one.
No, it's not a country song. It's a rap song. We're talking about a country song. You know what? If we can get Luke on to tell the story of when he got in a fist fight with Andre Moore from Reaction Innovations, that would be gold. Wouldn't it, Cody? Wouldn't it be gold to hear Luke tell that story?
You know, that would, because I can just picture right now Andre Moore. 15 years ago, fishing some of these tournaments, you see that guy, and he looks like he's mad at you, but he's really, that's his personality. So I can see Luke fighting him. I actually didn't know that. But yeah, man. Or you could bring up the time with him and Brent Ayler. I believe it was on an Ultimate Match where he pushed Brent in the water. I know that gets
Wow. Wow. Man, yeah. Luke's aggressive. I never knew that.
He's like a hockey player.
He is crazy, man. Yeah.
Crazy. Wow, new props.
I'm messing with him.
He just shot up my guest list.
I know. He did, too.
Luke Clawson.
We're surprised he didn't go and beat up the Bass staff that time he disqualified him at Wheeler. He probably would have went and beat up Tripp.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that. I remember hearing about that. Yeah, he's probably a dangerous guy that night, for sure.
Yeah. And you know what's funny about that? Actually, write a note about this. We got to get Luke on. Because.
Oh, it's noted.
I feel like that was like part of – not the reason, but it was part of the reason that the big split happened, you know? And we hear all the time from guys, you know, why'd you guys leave? Why'd you guys – you know? But you got to remember all the stuff that was going on in the sport at that time where the anglers felt like not alienated, but like that kind of stuff was going on, right? Like mistreated, misrepresented, taken advantage of. You got to put that incident in that category as well, you know. And Luke had come over from FLW, you know. Bass had some hard feelings.
Want them both.
You know, it's hard to say. You can never go back and pinpoint exactly, you know, without anybody testifying, you know, under court of law. But I would put that in that category. Cody, where are you at right now? Where are you at? We've got the season sort of winding down. Where are you at? What part of the world are you in? What are you doing?
Yeah, so first of all, I have to apologize. This beautiful scenery behind me.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a little country western. I feel like I'm coming out of a John Wayne movie. But
I thought you were in a sauna.
I thought you were laying on the floor.
Yeah, I wish I was in a sauna. I had to just – I'm in a hotel room, believe it or not, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I had to boot my wife, my kids out of the room, and we're just hanging out, man. It's that time of the year. You know, I don't fish a whole lot in the fall. But man, just kind of hanging out with the family in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, like I say, doing something a little bit different and just really enjoying the off season, man. It's been obviously a crazy, weird year and, thankful to be, you know, not fishing for a little bit here.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Becky and I are getting ready to do the exact thing that you guys are doing. Like exactly. We are Sunday, like literally 2 days from now, we're hooking up the camper. We're starting in Connecticut. And we're gone for a month. We're just literally gone Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine. We're gonna go up the coast, come back inland, and we got no plans. Like literally, we don't have any plans. I'm packing some rods. We're just gonna hang out as a family. That's awesome that you guys are doing it. What have you been doing? Have you been hiking, hunting, fishing? What's been on the agenda?
You know, so a crazy weird year, like I said, but we actually moved. So we moved from California to Idaho, believe it or not, you know, born and raised in California, decided to move to Idaho. You know, I don't need to get into it, California, but the taxes, all that. And so we just decided, hey, we've talked about doing a trip like you guys are doing, you know, the fall colors, and let's go over to Wyoming. It's cold here right now, or, you know, in the 40s in the morning, everything's turning colors. Beautiful. So it was spur of the moment, same type of deal. We have no plans, just came up here, no fishing, no hunting, but really, it's been about 15 years since I've been to Wyoming. And, you know, you think of Wyoming as just one of those gorgeous places in the world, really, and it really is. So we just kind of packed out, like say, we came over here, no fishing, just, you know, seeing the scenery, going to go check out some elk, some moose, you know, show the kids that, and not really, you know, worry about anything right now.
That's awesome.
You know what I love about California, guys? You're not much different than us New Jersey guys calling them elks.
Elks, plural.
That's what we would have called them. Elks, deers,
plural.
And bears.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Deers, bears.
Yeah, I almost ran over all those elks.
Squirrels.
Yeah. Well, I always said, honestly, like, on tour, I get along with the California guys better than anybody. And I'm not dissing the guys from the Midwest or South. But I always did had a better natural relationship with guys from the West Coast. Maybe it's because of that. Maybe it's because we pluralize stuff.
I guess, man.
I don't know.
Pluralize.
You know, it's funny because a lot of guys, you know, like I hang out with Ish all the time. And it's funny because we laugh about the same things, traveled a little bit this year. I know you guys have done that in the past. Yeah. And it's there's definitely a connection, you know. I mean, obviously being from California, but I can see that, man. We're all cool peoples.
I love it.
Cody, how are you liking Idaho? How are the kids adjusting to the move? Curious.
You know, so we've been here since July, but honestly, we love it. You know, one of the things that made the move easy is my dad's up here, a brother and sister moved up here, and it's only 7.5 hours away. So it's not far. We can go back home. I mean, 7.5 hours to us driving is nothing, but you know what? It's a beautiful state, very clean. Weather is really pretty similar to Northern California, a little bit colder, but fishing is fantastic, and just the people. You know, I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff going on in California, but it's gotten out of control. And here, I feel safe, honestly, leaving my wife and letting her and the kids go to a park or something like that. You feel safe about it. So we're really, really excited about it. We've been talking about it for years. And of course, when you're born and raised somewhere, it's hard to just up and move you know, out of the state. But we ripped the Band-Aid off and you know, sold the house, moved up here, and so far, honestly, we love it. Absolutely love it.
That's awesome.
When you say up, are you up by Coeur d'Alene or are you down by Boise?
Down by Boise, yeah. Okay. So it's up from California. But, you know, it's really pretty, like where Polnick lives, stuff like that. That is gorgeous up there. But the winters are pretty, pretty bad. You know, Boise, it's a high desert, a lot of trees. It's real similar to Northern California, you know. People, when they go, man, where are you from? California. They think of the beach, the ocean. So I was pretty close to Lake Tahoe. So it got pretty cold. Of course, the big giant spotted bass. So it's pretty similar to what we're used to for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. Was the COVID the reason you guys moved, or was it this other shit going on, or was it something you guys had planned for a while?
Yeah, so definitely not COVID, you know, but I'll tell you, COVID definitely helped kind of spur it on because in California, if you don't have a mask and you're driving by yourself, you get in trouble, basically.
Wow.
But no, I mean, it's really bad there. But we've been talking about this for at least a year, you know, just all the stuff, schooling, everything. I mean, everything. It's just a combination. Yeah. The taxes are crazy. Yeah. You know, gas, everything you think about is high. You know, it's hard because, like, say we were born and raised, the family's from there, and we love it there. But it's a combination of so many things. And it's like, what better time? My daughter's 5 right now. She'll be 6. Just started kindergarten. And what better time before she gets into school?
Perfect
to move.
Time. Good call. Perfect time.
That was really the big push. And you know, we thought about the South, too, Tennessee. Stuff like that, but really,
you're better off up there.
Yeah.
And you know, with the family, you know, my wife's family 7.5 hours away, we could, you know, hop in a car, go home, and quickly run back, and no one's homesick, and so it's been a really good move in my opinion. And like I say, it's just it's so much better in California. I mean, it's Holland. You see some of the stuff. Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
Yeah, good move for you guys.
Thank
you. Awesome.
The guts. I wish I had the guts.
Yeah. Well, it does take a little
bit
of guts.
Yeah, it does.
But it's a good move.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah. I want to switch gears here, Cody, and I want to, you know, this is Ike Live, so we just say what we think. And I want to bring up a topic that has bugged me for years and years and years. which is in my, and again, this is my opinion. Let me preface this. Everybody watching, they always get their panties up in a bunch, Dave, because I say something,
oh, I
and they're all mad. I get
victims,
phone calls and emails the next day.
Victims,
it's
everywhere.
Bullshit. This is my opinion, but I've always felt like, for the most part, in the bass fishing world, in the mega world of bass fishing, that West Coast anglers get a slightly bad rap, right? They're not as recognized. There's not as many accolades when, you know, I don't know. And it reminds me a lot of guys in the Northeast. There's been so many guys in the Northeast that have had success, that have changed the sport with a technique or a lure. And you know, it's like, it's the Northeast. It's them Yankees, right? You know, it's them damn Yankees. Fuck them Yankees, you know?
How?
And I always...
They're on to something.
Yeah, no. Well, maybe they were.
Yeah,
but
their gut was right.
Maybe their gut was right. But I've always felt like the West Coast guys have gotten, you know, maybe not a bad rap, but didn't get the credit they deserve. Why is that? Why is that?
And how much of it is Byron's fault?
Well, a lot of it's Byron's fault, right?
Just be honest. Yeah.
But besides Byron, why is that? Because it doesn't make any damn sense to me.
Yeah.
The Bachelor definitely set us back. honestly, I do feel that, and I have said this for years. So I fished full time now for 13 years, and my first couple of years, it was like I was a black sheep, right? I mean, the other West Coast guys, the Brent Ayler, stuff like that. Michael Bennett, you know, back in the day, he told me, we went to high school together. He told me, man, it's a different world going out there. And I honestly feel like people just don't like the West Coast. They hear California, hear the West. It's like, man, I don't like that. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a lot of it. You know, you get to Alabama, it's like California. But in reality, I mean, where I grew up on the West Coast in California, it's farmland. People hunt and fish. So until they get to know you, I feel like we definitely have taken a bad rap, no doubt, in the whole West Coast in general, maybe because we're so far away. But, you know, it did take a couple of years until you start getting to know some of these guys. And then they're really cool. And there's guys that have always stood out that have been extremely nice. Kyle Mayberry, you know, passed away. Guys like that. And there's guys along the way. But – yeah, I think you're right, man. Like the Northwest, probably the same thing. You get that underappreciated. We're really, really good fishermen. I think a lot like you, you grew up and the fishing wasn't as good. So you're when the fishing conditions are tough, you really excel. Kind of like the West Coast. You know, we see gin clear water, tidal fisheries, frog flipping. So you learn how to do it all, and maybe you guys just got mad at that. I don't know, but it takes them longer for sure to accept the fact you're from the West.
It's like the scene from Remember the Titans. Remember they made fun of the blonde quarterback from California until he Tai Chi'd everybody and then
she walked down. That's a good analogy. That's a good analogy. Yeah, and I'd agree with that. I'd agree. And, I mean, even as far as, like, changing the sport – with techniques, you know, again, it's like, I feel like the sport now, when you look at a lot of these techniques, right? Look at the finesse techniques and the swim baiting techniques that are dominating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A lot of that stuff, if the West Coast guys hadn't advanced that style of fishing, it's not around, you know, or it takes years later to get to us.
Weren't they drop shot too?
Oh yeah, drop shot. I mean, shit. A lot of the finesse techniques, you know.
Yeah, definitely swim baits. Definitely drop shot. I can remember 1999. I was in high school fishing Lake Oroville Bassmaster Open, and I remember growing up. You mentioned Aaron Martins earlier. He still is my hero. I mean, you couldn't touch Aaron Martins growing up when he lived out here in California. And I remember that tournament. He was the only guy drop shot, and he blew this Bassmaster away. I mean, 12 pounds, 13 pounds a day, were 9 pounds, a really big bag of these spotted bass. And right then and there, he's using a little catfish sinker. I remember learning about it the next day, going out there and going, oh my gosh, stuff like that. Really caught fire. And we had, you know, years to kind of perfect that stuff. And, you know, like the swim baits, I mean, Byron, with the giant swim baits all the way down to now the high-tech style finesse swim baits. I mean, that really, really started out here. And, you know, it works everywhere, of course.
It's crazy. I had a very similar experience to exactly what you just said. And my christening to the Drop Shot was at the 2000 Bassmaster Classic. So it was the second classic I ever fished. And
really?
Oh, yeah. And we fished out of Chicago. It was the worst attended Bassmaster Classic in history.
I blame Pat Renwick.
Blame Pat, yes. There was probably literally on the last day, which was a Sunday, they weighed in at, Soldier Field, the big stadium
yeah.
there.
Wow,
the
old, how about Soldier. That?
The old stadium. Yeah. There was probably 70 people in the audience.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst attended tournament. But anyway, it was a great tournament outside the weather because we had a straight north wind that blew 15 to 30 for three straight days, and they let us go. Thank God, the good old days of bass fishing when tournaments aren't delayed by rain. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, but
everybody's trying to live forever anymore.
I know. Whatever. Who lives forever? But anyway, so I remember Cody, I remember going, I had to go. A lot of us had to go to protected areas. I went to this lake in the Calumet River called Calumet Lake. And it was a smaller area, but Brett Height was in there. And like every day I would see Brett catching them. And I'm fishing a shaky head and a tube and like all these things that at the time I thought were the only finesse techniques, you know, it's kind of what we learned here. You know, we didn't even call it a shaky head. We called it a jig worm. But, and then I'm looking at Brett and he's in this area. He's catching them. And I'm like, finally, at the end of the thing, I went over to B and I'm like, what in the fuck were you doing? You know, it's a drop shot. What's a drop shot? This is 2000, you know, what's a drop shot, you know? And it's so funny because, you know, it's again, this is a technique that these guys, you know, we owe them that knowledge, you know, and it's crazy. So many of those techniques came through the West Coast. Why is that? Why is that, Cody?
I think, you know, honestly, just because the different conditions. I mean, you think about the West Coast, you have Lake Shasta, Oroville, gin clear. You can see down 40 feet at times, you know, a lot of time. And so you learn how to really finesse fish that 4 pound test. And then you go straight to Clear Lake, which is, you know, an hour away from some of that stuff, frogging, flipping, huge swim baits, punching, stuff like that. And then you go to the Delta, tidal water fisheries. And then, you know what, you go down to the desert. So there's so many different things. I think that's really why you see that Aaron with the scrounger head, you know, I remember a guy named Gary Howe. Years ago, I was fishing a Kellinger event, Bassmaster Drew Skeet Reese. And he was doing something. I remember smoking him on a drop shot. And this guy, Gary Howell, I believe he won the tournament. He was using 2 half-ounce bullet weights, big old lead bullet weights, and punching, you know, this is probably 96, 97. Just came out.
Pre-tungsten.
Yeah. The Terry Scroggins of the world were doing that in Florida. Keeping it real hush hush. And I think he won that tournament, flipping mats, big full size brush hog, pre-tungsten, 2 half-ounce lead weights, crushing them and going, what in the heck? And he showed me here. I'm just a co-angler. And I thought that is the stupidest looking thing that I've ever saw.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he won the tournament on it, but it was stuff like that. You know, just, you have to start doing that. And, so I've always, you know, sometimes I'm somewhere and where are you from? Like California, kind of lower my hat, right? but I am thankful for some of that stuff, the jig clear, finesse fishing to this big swim bait, stuff like that really made me the angler I am today.
Yeah, I'd agree. And we do the same thing. People ask where we're from. We say Jersey and they just keep walking. They don't even want to talk to us. You know, it's like we got BO or something. They just keep walking.
Fuck them.
Let me remind everybody watching right now. We've got Cody Meyer on the line right now. If you've got a question for Cody or a comment, please hit up Riz on the IMs and we'll put it through. I want to change gears a little bit, Cody, and sort of double back on just a few of the topics we talked to Kevin about. And Kevin's tough. I'll be honest with you. He's probably still listening. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Kevin's tough because his brand, his MO, is he's very PC. You know what I mean?
He's a senator, dude.
He's a senator. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like, I don't hate that. I think it's who he is, right? And he always walks that line, and he never enters the other side. And we got him tonight to dip a few times, which was awesome. he kind of crossed the line a few times, which was cool. But weird, I guess weird, strange is the only way I can describe the feeling right now in the fishing industry. And, you know, obviously we've had COVID. You know, there's other stuff going on in the world that's strange and weird. But the fishing industry right now is going through this strange turnover, you know, where guys are being let go, guys are being fired, you know, anglers are changing teams, companies like Evinrude drop off the face of the earth, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about this. What the hell is going on?
You know, so that Evinrude thing, I'm going to rewind. So my whole career I've been there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm doing some yard work, leave my phone inside, come back. I have 80-100 text messages, phone calls. Dude, what happened to Evinrude? No clue. No, I didn't even hear about this until BassFan put it out there. So
you didn't know. Evinrude didn't put out a message to its pro staff and employees. You found out through BassFan.
I found out through BassFan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but what a bad condition to be in. He's doing yard work. He's probably got fuel on.
Yeah.
He's got grass all over his shins, and you're in no condition to be handling that kind of news.
I should have just lit my leg on fire.
It's not like you have your reading glasses on, and you're sitting at the desk, you know?
Yeah. You get all those messages and calls, you're thinking, oh, my God, what happened? Something with the family. But, no, just Evinrude went out of business. And, you know, it wasn't until days later, I talked to someone at Evinrude. They said, hey, we got a call, a Zoom call, and all of a sudden, within 10 minutes – laptops, cell phones, all disconnected. Basically, they just said, hey, we appreciate everyone. See you later. So that was hurtful, you know.
Wow.
You've been with the company that long. Yeah. You feel like you're at least owed the respect of, hey, a phone call, we're going to let you go. But
yeah.
I think this industry right now, you're right, absolutely crazy. And if you talk to anybody in tackle sales, boat sales, they're having their best year they've ever had.
Best year.
For the most part.
Best year ever. Best year ever. Selling more tackle, selling more boats, more big outboards, more kayaks, more rods, more lines, more baits than ever before. Tackle license sales, I'm going to reiterate it, Dave, trackable. Higher license sales in the last 30 years.
There are more SKUs on Tackle Warehouse that say no back order than I've ever seen before.
It's crazy.
Ever.
It's crazy.
Yes,
so How during a time when, because of COVID, things are so good in the fishing world, how in that time can things be so bad where guys are being let go, guys are being called to the plate on conflicting sponsorships, you know?
Yep.
How can this be happening?
I have no idea. I mean, I was filming with Tackle Warehouse back in April, and I asked him, how has this affected you? And he said the same, Corey said the same thing.
Yeah.
We have so many, excuse me, so many sales right now, it's crazy. And you're right, you talk to all my sponsors, they can't even keep Tackle Warehouse in stock. Everyone's selling stuff.
Yeah.
And then I am a victim of that as well, where I'm getting let go from another brand and because I won't switch over to some of their brands, which I'm a loyal guy, you know, I hang my hat on that. But my fear is, like you say, you know, I'm wondering that everyone's selling so much, are sponsors, tackle companies thinking we don't need guys because we're selling so much?
Yeah,
but then, you know, this is going to come to an end, and all of a sudden, you know, it's going to come crashing back down to reality. And, you know, I firmly believe that you need guys like you, of course, and myself and guys to promote this and keep it going.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't have an answer for why it has changed so much, because all time spikes in sales. Everyone, and if they don't tell you that, you know, they probably have no idea, because everybody's selling stuff. So what a weird year. I heard some Daiwa came out with something. 4 million people were introduced to the outdoors fishing during COVID, and 1.2 million will stick with it. So that's 1.2 million guys or people in the industry that are going to buy tackle, buy all this stuff. So this seems like a weird time to kind of get cut back and I say I'm victim of one of those too.
Yeah, it's very strange. We all are. We all are. And Kevin, you know, we didn't pry, and you know, we won't pry with you. You know, Kevin admittedly was victim to it, as I was. You know, I think all of us were somehow affected in this manner. But dude, how is this like a testament to how backwards the fishing industry is? Find a carpenter. Let me call you plate on this one, because we've mentioned this every year for the past 10 years in Ike Live. Pro fishing, the fishing industry is backwards.
Oh, yeah, it's way backwards.
Is this testament to how backwards pro fishing is?
No, actually, I think it's right in line with corporate policy.
Policy in all of them, well, in just, all the
just,
world?
Yeah, just taking advantage of a situation.
Right.
You know, here it is, a perfect excuse to cut people without valid reason and blame it on COVID, even though your sales are through the roof. But what I was so that's why I say. But what I was thinking about, like, all these new tackle sales and license sales, are they going to start putting in more lakes? I do not want to see anybody else on the goddamn lake. Screw grow fishing. Shrink it. Go golfing.
Yeah.
Luke Duncan and Lunkers TV are building lakes. I don't know.
Are they?
I know Luke's going growing a lake.
Yeah.
Growing a lake.
Growing a lake. Yeah. Well, major reservoirs are done. I mean, I don't think you can make any major reservoirs,
sure,
but maybe.
Can
you? Maybe. Yeah, why not? I don't know. But I wanted to say that I don't get it. I think it's backwards. I think in other professions, in other sports certainly, I think the athletes are treated better. I think they have more rights and more say. And I hate to hear some of the stuff that I'm hearing, you know, where, you know, guys are being called to the plate and fired and making choices that they shouldn't have to make. You know, unethical practice going on because at the end of the day, right, you know, some guy real high up at Boom Boom Bloom, Bloom 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 Corporation, Boom Boom Bloom, whatever it is, knows nothing about fishing. It's just a number. It's just a name. Scratch it out. That's bullshit.
Yep.
That's bullshit. Pro staff is so important. I think we make the industry, we make the industry revolve. I mean, it all revolves around us. Riz, what do you got? Hit us up with some IMs. I know you got 1,000. Let's catch up with Cody on some of these instant messages coming through.
That's right. Dave's Lawnside wants to know, Cody, how long have you been with Daiwa, and what's your all-time favorite Daiwa product?
Dave's Lawnside.
Dave's Lawnside.
Dave's Lawnside.
Yeah. It's been 8 years, and actually the guy who is at Daiwa brought me on. My longest sponsor, so really good relationship there. 8 years. I would say my all-time favorite product is a little biased here, but it's a Rod of Design Daiwa Tattoo Elite 7.4 versatile spinning rod. It's the rod I caught that giant spotted bass on. It's got a ton of fish on it, so it'd be hard for me to say anything but that. And probably Daiwa Tattoo LT spinning reel or something. I remember back in high school buying those old Advantage, you know, some of the old Daiwa stuff has just been big for me, for sure.
Yeah, I want to jump in real quick, Riz, before you get the next question. And I have no hatred toward any other brand, especially not Daiwa. I was with Daiwa for a while. I'm with Abu now, but I love the Daiwa stuff. And I want to answer this question, too. My favorite Daiwa stuff, I'm going to give you two, was the old original Team Daiwa branded stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember it like it was yesterday.
PD.
Dude,
yeah,
dude, I remember walking into.
I still got a green cranking rod.
You still have a green cranking rod?
I do too.
I'm talking pre-green. I mean, I'm talking the original Team Daiwa. Black and maroon.
Yeah.
Cody, listen to this shit.
With the foam hand.
Yeah, I remember walking into a Sports Authority, and I'm in high school at
Sports
the time.
Authority.
Sports
not
Authority.
Even Dick's
not Dick's Sporting
Goods.
Sports Authority.
Wow.
Pre-Dick.
That's where you go to buy a snowboard.
I'm talking sophomore, junior, senior in high school. And I remember, like, it's like the Holy Grail. You know, you go in there, and at the time they had the rods all in those movable racks, you know? And you look at it, and you're like, shit, garbage. And then you get to the end, and the Team Daiwa shit was there. And it was like, ah! It was fucking unreal. But I remember, like, Rick, they had a Rick Klun signature Team Daiwa rod. This is how long ago I'm talking about. Klun was fucking with Daiwa.
Wasn't that our jig rod? The 661? Was that the one we
used? Well, I'm talking about his cranking rod, which was one of the first parabolic glass rods I ever saw, like, done right. Like, Fenwick had done them before, But this one was done right, you know? And, I love that era. Second one, I'm going to say Steez. When I was with Daiwa and they had the Steez stuff, amazing. Price point was outrageous.
Brian still uses it.
Yeah, Brian still uses it. But
I'm still using some of your broken rods.
Right. The great thing about that, I can say this. Cody can't say this, but I can say this. I'm going to just out him right now. If you're watching right now and you buy a really expensive Team Daiwa rod and you break it, or one of these Tatulas or whatever, just return it. They'll send you new one. Bry's been returning Steezes for like 20 years, and they keep sending them new Steezes. Hey. And that Steez was mine to begin with, and you keep returning them. Wasn't even yours.
Damn it.
Hold on. If you just smoked my road.
Yeah.
You owe me rods.
I'll give you a couple rods.
Cody, I was wondering, now they got you on the phone. Tatula, I was wondering, is that like Tonga for you can't afford this?
I have no idea. Ish, I always ask him because he's got a fake tattoo that says tattoo on his arm. Right. I got a funny story. So 2009, I believe, Forestwood Cup, my first Forestwood Cup at Pittsburgh, Three Rivers.
Yeah.
We weigh in, Hackney wins, you get second, I got third. And I didn't see it, but I guess you broke a rod and you threw it. Well, my buddy grabbed it. Daiwa rod, and he still has that rod hanging over his mantle. And I told him, I said, at the time I was in with Daiwa, I said, you know, you can return any Daiwa rod and get a new one for free. He goes, I don't care. Yes, that was Ike's rod.
That's awesome. That's been my deal from day one. Not breaking and throwing rods. Oh. I do that. Anytime I have a broken rod,
you throw it.
I give it to someone.
You throw it at someone.
Well, I don't necessarily throw it.
He gives the other end. It's not in the water to somebody.
Right.
Dude.
No. Listen, serious. I'm serious.
The dry one.
No. I give it to fans. I love giving it to kids. It's such a cool thing, you know, for me.
It's and, like getting a bat at a baseball game.
Yeah, it's a broken rod. Like, what am I going to do?
It's like a Kurt Cobain smash guitar. Right.
All right, Riz, what else you got coming through for Cody?
Well, the Wawa Hoagie lady also wants to know, Brian, are you still using Mike's old broken line?
No. As of 2 days ago, no.
You're getting real line now. Okay. Yes. All right, what else we got, Riz?
The tin cup bottle wants to know, Cody, are there any West Coast techniques that you're holding under your hat that
you
might be able to reveal here on Ike Live?
Yes.
All right, here it is, folks.
Shout out to
been
Tin Cup.
All night, Cody.
The truth song.
The truth song.
How he escaped California Border Patrol to get to Idaho.
Yeah, that's one, too.
Hey, Idaho Border Patrol is actually more intense than California. I can't believe it. Wow. Yeah. You know, there really isn't. But I do have certain worms from Japan for, like, Nico rig type stuff that's, like, 3-1 on bites. And so there is a couple things, but I really don't have any cool, crazy
Cody, techniques. We'll hold on while you go get them.
Let me drive back to Idaho real quick. But, you know, there's not – I mean, I've seen stuff that guys are trying to make – you know, I'm trying to make famous. I mean, it takes something really special right now to really catch on. I mean, you know, Alabama rig or something that dumb. There's something out there that will kill them. You know, speaking of that real quick, I remember being at Pickwick, FLW Tour event, and seeing this guy in a team tournament – practicing and throwing that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what on earth is he throwing? Like, come back. To the tackle shop, and I had one in my hand. I go to check out because this guy was like, dude, this thing's incredible. And he goes, it's so good. And this is a year and a half before the Alabama rig came out.
Yeah.
It's so good. You could put 5 frogs on it and catch fish. And I literally looked at him and I left it on the counter and walked out. a year and a half before that thing came out, I could have made. You imagine that?
Oh, dude, doesn't it make you sick? Because we all have those stories. I have the same story with the chatterbait.
Pete does it every year.
But I saw the chatterbait years before Brian Thrift started winning with it. Dave Brodzik, our very own Dave Brodzik, Cody, fished the Rebel Buzzing Frog, which was essentially the original Whopper Popper in, like, the late 80s. Was it mid-80s? Early 80s.
Early 80s.
We've all had that, and you look back at it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Like, I know.
You know?
The other one I had was the Bass Tricks. You know, Bruce from Bastrix gave me the Bastrix, the Hollow Belly.
Yeah.
Probably a solid 2 years, and I never got onto it. And then all of a sudden, about 6 months before it really got out, we were smoking at Clear Lake. And all of a sudden after that, you know, it wasn't on the tour back then. So it really didn't mean anything. But it was, you know, stuff like that, like the A-Rig or stuff you were just mentioning. If you could go back in time, it would be unbelievable. The Chatterbait. Think of the Chatterbait. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting to look back in the annals of history in these lures, these game changers, right? If you look at it, to me, it's like every, you know, five to 10 years, a game changer comes.
Yeah.
Chatterbait was the only one that had the fucking brains to patent that shit, right? To patent that. The way it attaches, the clevis, you know, that
exact, the cletus.
The cletus, the clitoris.
Right.
To patent that. you know, when you look back, like, you're right, dude. What about the Sluggo, the Senko, the A-Rig, the Buzzin' Frog. Like, what if they got the patent on that? It would have been, money in the bank, but they never did that, you know? Bastrix.
Uh-huh. Slim baits.
There's just a thousand Bastrix right now.
Yeah, the boot tail.
Yes. Boot tail. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. I know. If you could go, like, you're right, though. I never thought of it like that. But the Chatterbait, I mean, every single Chatterbait, unless it's made in the garage, goes through Z-Man.
Yeah.
I mean, every one, some way, shape, or form.
I'll take that Senko money over that Chatterbait money.
Oh, I would take Senko money, too.
That's dirty money, bro.
Yeah, I'll take that Senko
money. Dirty money.
It's dirty money.
That's dirty money.
Riding dirty.
No. It's dirty.
It's like
Shout out to Gary Yamamoto and his little dog. We love you, Gary, and we love the Senkos. Ridge, you got any more coming through? Because I have something I want to switch to. What do you got?
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead. I want to... You know, we kind of talk about this strange world with sponsorships right now, the strange world with, you know, with what the industry's gone through. I want to get your take, too, on what's going on in the tournament world, Cody, because you've been one of the guys that have fished the different leagues. You fished at FLW originally. You fished at Bass. You fished at MLF. The best way I can tell you, and I'm going to just shoot straight, Dave, it's like a shit show clusterfuck of tournament organizations right now going on. And I said it earlier with Kevin, I'm confused, right? I'm engaged in it full time. And I'm very, very confused about the leagues, the structure, the rules. I'm confused. I leave these calls like, what just happened? I'm baffled. What's your take on the changes and where the sport's going, the state of the sport?
Right. I do feel confused too on some of that stuff. Some of the calls we do have, you go, oh my gosh. But you know, I said this last year, first league year of Bass Pro Tour. I really feel like in 5 years, everyone will be kind of where they want to be, whether that's Bassmaster, FLW, MLF. If it's you want a 5-fish limit, you want catch all you can. So many people, there's so many different views that some people hate catching all you can. And it is hard. Like I struggle with it. I mean, still like this year, there was times I'm just like, man, I hate this format. I do. And then there's times I absolutely love it. And then five fish, I fished those FLW super tournaments this year. We've always done. And I was thinking to myself, this honestly is kind of easier. I mean, just cause there's not the noise and the stress, but I do love both. I really, really do. And I've said this, I think in 5 years, now a couple of years from now, everyone will hopefully be where they want to be. There's no contracts of where you have to be or anything like a thing like that. It's just, hey, do you want to be here? Do you want to be there? But it is so dang confusing. There is so much hatred, right? Like we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Between leagues, it's crazy. Like I just want to go out there and go catch fish, make a living, make everyone happy. But dang, dude, people hate you for fishing MLF. People hate you for fishing bass. People hate you for living in California.
Yeah.
People, you know, so it kind of sucks, honestly. But it's a weird, honestly, weird, weird time. And hopefully in a couple of years, it's just all, okay, hey, You're in MLF, right on, dude. I still love you. Still my brother. You're in Bass, we love you. You know, wherever you're gonna be. And you know, like me personally, I'm gonna try to fish both leagues next year. I mean, which is nuts, but Bass, I mean FLW Tour and MLF Bass Pro Tour, and that way you can kind of get the best of both worlds. But it's I don't know how else to say it, but it is a weird time, and there's everyone has their own opinion on it, and I don't know what's right or wrong right now, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a right answer. How many events is that, Cody? If you're a guy that fishes Bass Pro Tour and the MLF or FLW, whatever it's called now, how many events is that?
So it's gonna be about 13-14 events.
Wow,
it's crazy.
Dang,
it's a lot.
Wow, it's a good that's a good number of tournaments.
It's a good number of tournaments. The only way I can pull it off is no more sponsor drop me. No, I'm kidding. You know, come this summer, like I was talking to my wife, Carrie, hey, how about we go like up north or wherever we're going to be and do that whole big swing together, you know, like the month and a half. Because if not, it just won't work for me with kids. You know,
right.
I mean, my daughter's at the age where she's brutal, but it's around 13-14 events. We have the Major League Fishing Cups in there as well. I didn't make the championship this year. It's the first championship I ever missed, finished 45th. So I don't have to go to that one. And Red Crest, missed it by an ounce. So there's two less I have to fish heavy hitters missed by an ounce. But, so if I do it, it's a lot. But I think it would be cool just to say I did it. You know, like the Iron Man of the old days. I remember Ish doing it, Hype doing it. It's, you probably are going to hate fishing come summertime, but give it a shot, man.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to enjoy Idaho until 2023.
Yeah, 2023.
Yeah. And hopefully everyone from California doesn't move there and make that California team.
We don't want them to ruin it. But, you know, it happens in other sports, though. Like if you look at golf. Golf's set up in a way where those guys, if they wanted to compete in like 24 tournaments a year, they could, right? And I think in our sport, the ultimate goal would be for a guy, and you know, it's harder as you get older, Cody, you know, with kids, and every year that goes past it gets harder, but how great would it be if a guy could fish all the elites, all the BPTs, all the top, you know,
it'd be amazing.
It'd be amazing. That's what we should be as pro anglers. That's what we should be fighting for, right? Yeah. We should be fighting for
the right to earn.
The right to earn. But in essence, what you said, Cody, I think you hit it dead on the head, which is there's a lot of hatred, and the hatred stems from the top. The hatred stems from the top, and I hate it. I won't call out anybody specifically by name, but when you have guys at the top of MLF that hate bass. And you have guys at Bass, at the top of Bass. And I'm not talking about the competitors. I'm talking about the guys at the top.
The bosses.
Brass.
The bosses. When you have guys at MLF that hate Bass.
Talk about the old vampires?
I'm talking about the old vampires.
Okay. The dirty old vampires?
It just trickles down. And it's a bad, bad culture. It's a bad culture in both leagues.
Hey, what are you saying? People live too long these days?
I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm saying the hatred should go away. Huh. And it was never, you know, it was never about the anglers in the sport, which is unfortunate. It's a very unfortunate thing. It was always about the business, right? That business, whether it's MLF or Bass or LMFAO, Party Rock in the House Tonight, the new league. It's always about the business.
At least the new league, I feel like.
I like the new league.
Two of our friends are working for it.
I know.
Can you get the name right, MPFL?
I like
that name
better. I can say one thing about the new league. I don't feel like they're born out of malice. They're not born with.
Well, that would be the best thing. I would support them 1,000% if they weren't born out of malice.
I don't think they are.
We'll see how that worked out the last time.
We'll see. But again, you know, the problem is the anglers and the sport was never put first. It was portrayed that way by some of them. Well, maybe this is another show, but the reality is it's always business first, and I don't like that because a sport is bigger than a business, right? This isn't a trucking company. This isn't a you know, this isn't a publicly traded company on Wall Street. This is a sport we're talking about, dude, with athletes and participants. Know,
my dad says this all the time. When you have a bad tournament or it's terrible conditions, raining, snowing, he always says, remember why you started doing this. Because you love it, right? Like, remember why you started tournament fishing, because you love bass fishing. So I've always tried to think like that. And but, man, like you say, you're right. I mean, last couple of years, there has been so much hatred, and it's terrible because at the end of the day, all every one of us in every league love bass fishing.
Yeah, we all love it.
So it needs to be more about that for sure.
I agree.
Hey, Cody, you're super successful. I'm just wondering, do you ever wish your dad might have said something else to you, though? Like, remember that scene from Step Brothers where he was like, stop being a fucking dinosaur and get a job?
Oh, yeah.
Leave it to Dave. I love that Dave always takes that other point of view. You know? Every show, Cody, every show, there are like, I don't know, no less than two dozen young, hungry kids watching this show that want to be pro anglers.
Scared straight.
Dave scares half of them away every show.
Dave's guidance counselor so just checked in on the message.
Yeah, there's 12 more that have left the sport of fishing for pocket ball or some shit.
Sorry, Chris.
It's terrible. I'm going to give it to Riz here on the official I am, but I've been checking some of the other Ike Live social feeds, and I've got one that came through from Instagram that I have to ask you about. And this one comes from Tommy Lee, who I don't know if that's the actual Tommy Lee. It may be. Tommy Lee says, Cody, what is this nickname I keep seeing on your accounts that says Dirk Diggler?
Oh yeah,
coming from Tommy Lee. This question, Dirk Diggler.
So Tommy Lee, you know, I'm modeling my game after you with Pamela. No, I was Tommy Lee for Halloween one time. No, Dirk Diggler is fantasy football. That's my name, man. I'm Dirk Diggler. Hey, and here's the funny thing. So we got a couple new guys. We do this MLF fantasy league. James Elam. He kind of started this whole thing. So this year we have Jordan Lee, new to the stage, Alton Jones Jr., Matt Lee. He was there last year. And Jordan, Matt, and Alton go, what is Dirk Diggler?
What?
I said, you don't know who Dirk Diggler is?
Oh, my God.
You don't know who Dirk Diggler is? So constantly I'm sending him highlights from the movie Boogie Nights. Constantly. And I'm just trying to teach them about who John Holmes really was.
Yeah. Wow.
And teach them. They must know.
Let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch. He must learn.
Hey,
there's a rapping on my door. My wife, Donna, says, go away. I say, no. Let the boy watch.
So every time I win, or every week, or whatever, I'll send off a little message. You know when he figures out his name, Mark Wahlberg, there is going to be Dirk Diggler, and it comes off popping. I sent him that little emoji there, man. Dirk Diggler, there it is.
That's awesome. The name. Now, the Lee brothers surprised me. Like when you said that, I'm like, the Lee brothers don't know that.
Nope.
Alton Jr., I totally get it. And I love – Alton Jr. is great. I love Alton. I'm a big fan of Alton Jr.
Like
I get why Alton doesn't know Dirk Diggler. But the Lee brothers, come on, man. How do you not know Dirk Diggler?
That was exactly where I'm at. I'm like, I get it, Alton Jr.
Dude, how do you –
Guys, they're like fucking 30 years younger.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He's an iconic penis. In the history of the world, his penis is more famous than Byron's penis.
But like, dude, there's new penis for them to be admired. You know, like that's our generation.
Not like that penis, dude. That penis is like George Washington penis. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's got wooden teeth,
dude. That penis has got wooden teeth.
Founding father penis.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You know what I'm saying, right?
I'll give you that.
That's founding father penis.
Blonde wig.
Right. In fact, do you know?
I had to tell. So I had to tell Jordan this. So my buddy JR, who Jordan knows, I was telling him about Jordan not knowing Dirk Diggler. He goes, oh, my God, he doesn't know who Dirk Diggler is. He doesn't know who John's home was. You know, John Holmes every time he got an erection, got a migraine because so much blood was going there. Tell him that, Cody. And I tell Jordan, and he goes, are you kidding me?
Nah, but that's like 80s, dude. There's dudes now that make them guys look like a lightsaber yeah. that's a drinking straw.
Yeah, but, here, but here's the thing. Again, look at it. Look at it in context, though, Dave. Look at it in context.
You're right. You can only go by the ear where you live.
You got to go by the ear. John yeah. Holmes was the beginning of the porn era, right? He was pre-freaking Viagra. He was pre any of that shit.
No selfies on the cell
phone. Selfie. None of that. No stupid social media. None of that shit. He lived and died by his penis and his actions, right? Okay? And on top of that, here's another one I want you to pass on to Lee Brothers. Maybe they're watching, so maybe you don't have to pass it on. And this is a true story. Brian DeCarpenter, you know this one.
I know this.
In Johnny Holmes, this is true. You can look this shit up, Dave.
Google
in Johnny Holmes' will and testament, John was a pretty simple man, made a decent amount of money in his career, pretty simple man. In his will and testament, the one thing he wanted and his executors had to fulfill was he wanted his penis lopped off and put in formaldehyde. And it was.
Oh.
And in fact, Johnny Holmes' penis was auctioned off. And I don't know if it was like a year or a couple years later after he passed away, but it was auctioned off and went for hundreds of thousands of dollars at the time.
I bet it went to Japan.
It may have went to Japan, but went to hundreds of thousands
guess.
Of dollars at the time.
Right? Exactly
his
where
his
went, right.
cock and formaldehyde sold for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's sitting on somebody's panel right
in Japan.
In Japan.
I bet it went to Japan.
It was actually the motivation for the first Necco rig.
Oh,
perfect
my gosh.
Shape.
I got to tell him that. Because I was Googling the Dirk Diggler story and sending it to him, right? I mean, that's how Dirk Diggler came. You know,
you're so good.
Yeah, I had to come up with something good. One of my buddies was Dinkfest on there. You know, Luke Clausen is Luke Team Clausen. I mean, how boring, right?
So
I had to go with Dirk Diggler, man. Yeah.
Wow. That was a good choice. That was a good choice.
I didn't know about that trophy that he did there for them.
Yeah.
For the Japanese guys.
He did. That was in his will and testament.
For the Japanese businessmen.
You going to have something like that in your will and testament, Dave? like a body part lopped off?
I just want to be roasted. That's all. I want you guys to all roast me.
Just roast it?
Yeah, I just want to be roasted.
Really?
And
okay.
You guys going to have some of my ashes and throw them somewhere.
No, well,
like
you're,
Champlain?
You're the roast master.
Like Champlain.
No, but I'm, yeah, there's
you're
other
the
people.
Roast master.
There's other people you don't even know that I know they're going to show up that can bang. They're going to roast.
Ain't nobody gonna bang.
This dude's done
that. You got some bangers?
Yeah.
All right. Riz, give us a couple more before we let Cody go. What else we got coming in on the IMs?
Cody, Gerald Swindle's used dude wife wants to know. When was the last time you had to yell at another angler on the water for getting on your spot?
Oh gosh.
Go ahead.
It was. What? It was this year. It was at Lake Erie, FLW Super Tournament.
Brett Chapman.
And it was a spot. Yeah. Like a month ago. And I'm normally like so calm, not a yell or anything like that. I was fishing this spot. Gerald Swindle's used dew wipe. And catching him, this dude pulls up and goes, man, I got whatever he had. I don't remember the guy or who he was, but I got one or two. Do you mind if I pull in here and start fishing? And I said, no, absolutely. Come on, man. I got to catch a lemon. I need to check. Absolutely not. And it pissed me off, honestly.
Did he leave? Did he go away?
He did. But, I mean, he was literally, I think he was just going to come in, man. Hey, you know what? He's catching some fish. You know, some smallmouth, I'm going to come in there and do it. But that's it. Before that, honestly, it's probably been 5-6 years at least.
Well, shout out to Brett.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that the culture has changed a lot where that's become acceptable.
Wait, has it changed, though? Come on. Seriously, has it actually changed? Have we gotten different, or is it just now we see it more?
I think it's gotten worse, and I think we see it more. Oh, absolutely, I think it's gotten worse.
Absolutely.
I mean, you go back to your days jumping on a boat as a co-angler with Denny Brower.
I saw it there. You're right.
You're damn right you saw it.
That was right. That was in the early 90s.
There's just no cameras to record it.
That's right.
That shit happened.
That's right. Yeah, but I don't think at the level that it happens now. And it, and it, I don't think like now we see like spectators come in. We see I think it's broader now. I think it's broader.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's this too right here. I think a lot of it's the phone. A lot of it's the internet. A lot of it's, you know, what they see.
Ish throwing Poche off the boat.
Ish throwing Poche off the boat, I think, helps. Yes, definitely. Yep, that was
Thank
an
you,
aid.
Cody.
Riz, what else we got coming through?
Jimmy's lost call tags. Wants to know from you, Cody. How do you feel about the MLF? And I lost the message here.
Oh, that's all right. Come on, Jimmy's call tag.
How do people think of these names? I need to change my name.
The names are the more than the question.
It's actually one of the best parts of the show, isn't
better
it?
Better than the question.
Yeah.
I love it. And we've got repeat watchers somehow. This show is really bad, but somehow they keep coming back, Dave. I don't get it. I don't know why.
Wawa Hoagie Lady's been around.
Wawa Hoagie Lady's been around for like 20 years.
Yeah. I might see her tomorrow.
You might see Wawa Hoagie's Lady tomorrow.
I might.
In a tournament or?
No, while I'm fishing, I got to get a hoagie in the
morning. So while we're waiting for Riz to get the question back, I miss the days when, and this is just me personally, miss the days when all the heavy hitters were in bass and there were some in FLW that you wondered if they could go over and crush in bass. That's what I miss the most.
Right.
That's when I liked the sport the most.
Yeah.
When it was consolidated talent.
Right. Well, I mean... Yeah. Again, I think, you know, I'd have to say if you compare it to other sports, right, you know, there's one top tier league and that's, you know, that's going to get you your maximum visibility from the world. Right. So right now in the history of our sport, we don't necessarily have that. You know, I think the time you're talking about, Bass reigned supreme, FLW were the guys that, you know, badass guys that are going to come. You know,
there were a couple that could come over and kill.
Oh yeah, well I remember being at Bass, and Cody, I remember, you know, yourself, Brian Thrift, Andy Morgan. I remember looking at you guys and like, oh God, please don't come over here. You know what I mean? I remember those days.
I remember you saying
that. Oh God, I remember those days.
That.
And like when they made the announcement this year, you know, with Thrift coming in and a couple new guys coming in.
Godfrey.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God, this sucks. Because I know, like FLW for me was never a lower tier league.
No.
It was just always, you know, keep them guys over there because we got enough over here, you know. But
there's just guys people don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Hammer. And that's the other thing, too, I think I want to stress, which is, dude, a hammer at FLW is a hammer at Bass, is a hammer at LMFAO.
I remember when Ayler came over, you were like, oh, God,
oh, Ayler,
stay over there.
Oh,
dude.
He's too good. He's too good. Yeah. Ayler's too good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got? Oh, you got it. You found it. Okay. Riz, what do you got?
Jimmy's Lost Call Tags wants to know, will the MLF or the Big Five or whatever it's called – ever bring back the Circuit Breaker series?
Oh, Circuit Breaker. Yeah.
Circuit Breaker. You know what? I don't know. Hopefully, you know, I did that Circuit Breaker and I loved doing it. We filmed the whole dang show, the whole season, and then they just went away with it. So that was definitely brutal, but they need to. That was, I'm not sure, you know if you're familiar with that, but that was really, really fun, good time. Travel with you everywhere, every event, kind of, it was like a journey of what happened, you know, before YouTube really kind of came out.
Yeah, a little reality series of bass fishing, which is cool. And a lot of people, mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of casual fans of the sport know the reality of it. So that was a good insight. All right, Cody, before we let you go, we do have one special guest, Brian Carpenter. Is that what you're signaling me? We have one special guest popping on and, joining us now.
The abominable snowman.
Joining us now is Yeti. We've got Yeti joining us, Cody, tonight.
What the frig is
that? Yeah, who's Yeti?
What are you doing? Why am I even here?
Yeti!
Oh, my gosh.
Yeti,
what's going on?
Still?
Gandalf.
Dave!
Gandalf the bone smuggler.
Gandalf
the bone smuggler. Is this a trucking company?
Gandalf, are you going through a cave right now? Where are you?
Yes.
Gandalf,
I'm in a hobbit hole.
Gandalf, why do you join us tonight?
He's searching for the dwarves' gold.
I am. What's going on? I got coerced into this. I was told there was a truck company that was taking interviews for drivers, so I zoomed in for an application. Is this the right place?
It says, all right, Gandalf, we're going to call you to the plate. Reminder, we've got Cody on the phone right now. Give us the name of the shortest professional angler in the leagues.
It's that jockey.
Kevin Wirth?
Yeah, is it Kevin Wirth?
Kevin Stockton.
Or you mean now, present day?
Present day.
Oh, my gosh. Present day, the shortest?
Yes.
Oh, that guy that hangs out with the Ninja Turtles on the RIP FLW tour.
Charlie Evans?
Yes. Him. That guy.
That might be right. I was going to say John Cruise, but that might be right. We'll give you Charlie.
No, Charlie Evans is way shorter than Johnny Cruise.
Okay, it's Charlie Evans then. All right. Yeah. Gandalf, the tallest. And remember, we've got Cody on the phone. The tallest.
Hi,
professional
Cody.
Angler on tour.
Hey, buddy.
Cody, how tall are you?
6'4".
6'4", okay. Dang. Gandalf?
Yeah. taller than Cody. I guess
taller than everyone.
Mark Jeffries.
Mark Jeffries.
Mark Meffries.
No, pro angler, not Mark Jeffries.
I'm a professional broadcaster, Gandalf. Why don't you stay in your lane?
The tallest angler, taller than Cody, Andy Morgan.
Andy Morgan. Okay, I'll give you that. Andy Morgan. Cody, is Andy taller than you?
He is by a little bit. Yes, okay. He is.
Cody, I knew Cody.
I didn't know Cody was a giant.
Yeah.
Cody,
yeah.
You're a big dude.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You're a big. I want if I'm getting in a fist fight, I want Andy Morgan and Cody Meyer on my side of the fist.
Yeah, they got the reach. They got the reach, Mike.
A lot of reach.
We got the reach. You know who's another one that's about – we're about this exact same height. That might be a little taller is Jared Littner.
Littner, big dude.
Mm-hmm.
What about Kenny?
Big dude with a big mustache. Big dude with a big mustache.
Dirty mustache.
Yes.
How about Hervé Villechaize?
JT Kenny has a gigantic head.
JT Kenny
he does like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
it's a big head.
It's like a buffalo with like a Michael Bolton wig on.
All right, Gandalf. Gandalf, this should be an easier one. The richest pro angler on tour.
Oh, the richest pro angler? Oh, Mike Iaconelli.
No. The wealthiest pro
Mike
angler
Iaconelli
on tour.
Mike Iaconelli by far.
Who?
Mike Iaconelli.
No, come on. Give me the real answer.
No from his 4,000 square foot.
Get out of here. Give me the
6,000 square foot. Yeah, I've been to your compound, bro. So besides you, Mike, I would say it'd have to be Boyd.
Boyd Duckett is the correct answer.
Yeah,
you're right.
Boyd with Kevin, a close segundo, as they would say in Ireland.
Yes.
My wife did
just mention that Skeet Reese bought his daughter a zebra. Okay? something about that zebra.
Wow. That is true.
Yeah, but you could get those
way.
Cheap on
That's
the black
yes.
market.
Wait, what?
I did hear that. Let's,
hold on a second.
Yes.
Hold on a goddamn second.
Let's expand on this. And Cody, I'm glad you brought that up. And let me preface this by saying.
This is breaking news.
I know, but let me preface this by saying I love Skeet. Skeet worked hard for everything that he's got, even though he's dissed this show so many times.
No, it just is everybody.
It's not just us.
It's just Skeet.
Remember when we crank called him?
Oh, yeah, we crank called him. I love Skeet.
Cliff Crochet cranked him.
Yeah, Skeet's a good dude. He's got a good heart.
Wow.
But Skeet has made an intense amount of money in fishing. And good for him, because he worked for it. He's a marketing machine.
That's rad.
But he did buy his daughter a zebra, and he did buy himself a yellow Lamborghini. They're two very expensive
and
items.
And paid California taxes.
That's true. Cody, do you have a zebra or a Lamborghini?
No, I have a pet zebra, and I have a little pet Tonka truck I just bought my son. Well, I can afford it.
Got to start somewhere.
That's right. As close as you're going to get. All right, let's go on the opposite end of the spectrum.
There it is.
You know whose answer machine that is?
That's Skeet's voicemail.
Did you call him Brett?
That's his answering machine. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. I hate to go this route, but I have to. So we did richest pro angler tour. Give us the poorest pro angler on tour, Pat.
Shit.
Jesus.
Poorest pro angler on tour. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to go.
Come on, Gandalf. You know this answer.
Hey, Matt Pangrat.
What?
No, he's not a pro.
No, pro angler.
Who's the poorest? Why, is this obvious and I'm missing it?
Everyone other than like Ike and Ellie, KBD, and Ski.
No.
It's Cody Meyer.
No, Cody's doing good. That's Cody's got a pet zebra.
All right, we'll skip. All right,
we'll skip that one. All right, here's another one.
I don't know. There's a bunch of poor ones.
All right, here's another one. Best balsa crankbait ever invented. And you can go back in history if you want to on this, you can do
Bagley Balsa B.
Bagley Balsa B. Okay, Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you instead of Gandalf. Best plastic crankbait ever invented.
Oh my gosh. I would probably say I'm really into the evergreen stuff, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
You, Cody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Can I answer that too, Mike?
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I'm going Lucky Craft 1.5, the original Rick Klun ones.
That's a classic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Like, I think you cannot go wrong with the OG Rick Klun Lucky Crafts and a Bagley Balsa B2. Yeah.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah.
Pat, I just want to say, considering that you're a podcast guy, like, that's what you do, you're a nightmare as a guest with the phone moving around.
I like it, though.
Looking at the side of your cheek.
I feel like I'm in a cave.
I don't even know. I'm not even looking at the phone, man.
We can tell. We see that.
Yeah, I don't know about your ear hair or what's hanging over there.
Yeah. I just want to say you're a nightmare as a guest.
That's my ear.
I think Pat really knows the answer to the poorest. He just doesn't want to say it.
I'm Switzerland.
Yeah, he don't want to call anybody out. But the 1.5, I do want to say real quick, I think was the first plastic-bodied square bill that got it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree, Mike.
I think like there was a lot of balsa baits prior to that, but they were the first ones to get the balsa look and feel and action in a plastic bait. And then, of course, a lot of people have you know, complimented that over the years.
Yes.
But I think you're right, Pat. I think you're right.
And I'll say something that not a plug for a sponsor whatsoever, but the that Fritz side, oh my God, what an amazing crankbait, that new Fritz side flat bait. Yep. Wow. It's that good.
He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Yeah. When it comes to plugs, he's a smart guy.
He's caught a few.
I'm going Pose 200 and Rapala DT6.
DT6 and Pose 200 are good ones. Yeah. I'd put them in the top five for sure. All right, last one. Gandalf and Cody, this is for both of you.
Yes. Can you call me Mr. Gandalf, please?
Yes, Mr. Gandalf.
Randolph.
Thank you.
I'll give the tougher one to Gandalf.
I sat down as well.
Yes, I'll give the tougher one to Gandalf and the easier one to Cody.
Grandolph.
Okay, thank you.
The worst moment in bass fishing, pro bass fishing history. The worst.
I'm going to answer this. Can I give you a behind the scenes thing?
You could do behind the scenes. You could do at an event on TV. The worst moment.
I was at an FLW event, RIP FLW. And there was a guy that was on the stage. They brought him in for the cups, all the cups. And he said he thanked everybody for watching Bassmaster Live. At the Forest Wood Cup. So he was like, you've been watching Bassmaster Live all day.
Oh, my God.
And, I know who that is.
Yeah, he's...
Give me initials. Can you give me initials?
You guys, it rhymes with Hiram Swell Sticks.
Oh! Well, there goes that theory about the blood rushing to it.
Yeah.
All that extra blood going down there got to him, and he forgot where it was at.
Yeah.
All right, Cody.
It was classic, and I was in the VIP section and kind of saw some reactions. It was neat.
Wow. What did Kathy Fennell do? Did she piss herself?
Is that what that was?
I don't know.
where are you at, Pat? In a Foot Locker? Like, what are you doing?
Did you see all those shoes?
Damn it, he's running a fucking marathon. Look at him. I can't even keep up with him. Jesus.
It's
unbelievable. All right, Cody, last question. Best bass fishing best moment in bass fishing history.
All right, so I'll give you a worst and a best. So the worst to me was remembering Jim Bitter lose that bat.
Yes.
Heartbreak.
I'd second
that. Heartbreak. And I think Hank Parker won. The best to me, I don't know why this jumped out in my head, but it was when Talk to Hero won the classic.
Yes.
I remember watching that. And it was like the music they had to the TV show. Yep. He wasn't catching the thing, made the run. Three casts in a row, won it, went home. I knew it.
It was awesome.
Me, it was you when you won because you weren't going to do it no more if you didn't win.
Yeah.
You were done.
I was done. But the TO one.
That was back-to-back years, and that just highlights that was the golden era.
That was a golden era.
Shit was peaking.
That was a golden era of fishing, for sure.
It was peaking right there.
It was a golden era of fishing. But what happened at top...
Kershaw's win was amazing.
Kershaw's win was amazing. Kershaw's win was amazing. Gives me chills thinking about that one, too. But the TO one, the way it went out, the way it went down, and to see it was all real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and especially TO, like, nothing was... staged or predetermined, or there wasn't any.
But the storylines are so similar to yours.
Yeah.
The never give up thing, the
last minute deal. Keep fishing. Yep. At the very end.
The fact that you're from the Northeast and he's from Japan and everybody in the South hates both of you.
Yeah. Everybody in the South hates both of us. Yeah.
And I definitely like my Takahiro with braces versus like Tom.
TO that I love, is the braces. TO with braces.
Braces TO.
The TO.
Yeah.
Getting in that camper. Not the nice, really nice Lance pop up that he's got now. It's the other
Cyrus one.
Yeah, it's the one that he used to drive around, and he used to crawl up in that camper, and he had Britney Spears posters everywhere. And he would actually, every night before he went to bed, he wouldn't kiss the posters, but he would kiss his hand. So he'd kiss his fingers, and he'd kiss the fingers and then touch the Britney Spears poster. And he'd be like, good night, buddy. I miss that. The TO that I love.
About, you know what, Cody? You might be right because I don't even say 5 pounds the way I used to
say.
Everything's 5 pounder. 5 pounder.
Yeah.
Everything. 5 pounder from here on out.
Dude. I love it.
Changed the way
the noises that came out were just.
It's like Chewbacca.
Very Chewbacca-ish, like, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys know what Jim was? Do you guys know what the it was and I knew it?
I knew it.
No, the bait?
Do you know what the it was?
The bait?
Do you know what the pattern? It was?
He was going to win.
It was the bait or the pattern or the wood.
There you go.
The wood?
Hey, yeah. Pat.
Is this
a Dirk Diggler thing again?
feel my heat.
Oh, Pat's on the run again.
All right, Riz.
Well, cops are coming.
Oh,
Pat's on the run.
Pat's on the run. Riz, what do you got?
The tin cup bottle wants to know, Pat, are you working on becoming Santa for this year?
I'm working on what?
Are you working on becoming Santa for this Christmas?
Yes. Actually, I started No Shave November way early.
Wow. Good for you.
And discovered Father that time. It's completely white.
And the Wawa Hoagie lady wants to know, are you holding on to a Tarzan swing at your on the Zoom call?
Absolutely, yes.
You went from, like, Ric Flair to Rick Springsteen. Like, what?
Jesus. What the hell? Zoom changes people. This is crazy. What a great show. I had more fun in the last 30 minutes than I've had on every Ike Live for the last like 3 years. So
good time.
This is good times.
Friday night, Tin Cup Whiskey.
Friday night. Cody, I want to thank you first of all for coming on. So good to catch up with you. I wish you a lot of success in your move, on your vacation, and of course fishing next year, whatever league you end up fishing, one or both. Wish you the best. And Gandalf, thank you for joining us. Pat, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. Great insight as always. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I have no idea why I was here.
Guys, we'll see you. Hey. Cody, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thanks,
all right, Cody. You're awesome.
Have a good day, Cody.
See you, man.
Good night, guys. There you go. Well, wow, wow, good choice there, Bride, to bring Gandalf in. I like that. Yeah, that was an exclamation point at the end of the show.
Damn right.
Man, what a great segment with Cody. Dude, can you think of two opposite guests to have Kevin and Cody on back-to-back? Both very accomplished, right? But Kevin very, you know, very guarded. You know what I mean? He's Cody just lets it out. I love it. Yeah, speaks his mind. It's
yeah,
great.
Well, it's yeah, not complete opposites, but yeah.
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 Well, they're both sponsored.
Yeah.
And they're both sponsored by Strike King. That's one similarity.
Yeah.
This ain't the environment to be talking to man about sponsors. So I think everybody's gonna be pretty guarded.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And I'll say it live here real quick, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back. Dude, it's unbelievable. I want to send a shout out to everybody, all the fans watching tonight and listening to this podcast later down the road. Thank you for the support, because honestly,
true,
I went to a Toyota event and a Lowrance media event back to back, and I had so many people come up to me, especially at the Toyota event. Anglers come up to me, and it was such a weird meet and greet there. Because of COVID, right? And this is Toyota. This is corporate deal now.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a measured six-foot meet and greet, right? So you know me, dude, Jersey people. Riz, you know Jersey people. Jersey people are like, you know, bro, hugging. Yeah, you don't even know the dude, you know.
Making up handshakes.
Oh, yeah, making up handshakes, the whole deal. And this was like a very structured meet and greet. But everybody that came by, you know, signed autographs, talked to them. Dude, I'd say like 60% of them all said, I love the show. Man, I love the show. And I'm like, and I would just like, because I don't know what he's talking about, right? Because there's...
You have so many shows.
There's the old City Limits. There's the Nat Geo Wild. There's the freaking...
The newest thing you got going on.
Yeah, the Cohen Ike stuff, right? And they're like, I love the show. And I'm like, thanks. And I told Brian, I told you this. I'm like, I always would say to him, what show? Because I wanted to know what he was talking about. And it was Ike Live. And, dude, it blew me away. Blew me away at the Toyota event, the people watching and listening, you know, and, like, I love it. I listen to it at work. I listen to it on the way to work. I listen to it on the way to tournaments. I listen to it at home. And then at the – and this is the one that's really a compliment, is the one at the Lowrance event where you had media from inside the industry and you had, you know, people from Lowrance and you know, people that aren't fans, people that are in the industry. And they were reciting back to me.
Oh my goodness!
Episodes and clips like
dumb shit that they've said for years.
Yeah. Oh my god! You know this, and I'm like, oh my god! And dude, honestly, like people talking about you like they knew you. People talking about Riz like they knew. You know what I mean? Like it's
dude, and Brian the Carpenter.
Isn't that awesome? Like that's a very good feeling. You know, to know that they're watching. And even though Brian, you know, in the last, you know, we had an era with Brian where nobody's watching anymore. We're not doing enough shows. You know, people are still watching. They still like the show. You know, it feels good.
It's my job, though.
I know it is your job. It is your job, and I appreciate that. But it does feel good. And I want to shout out everybody watching and listening right now. Here's the good news, Brian. We're going to take a break.
Yes.
We're going to come back. We're going to do a very, very quick MTB unboxing.
Yeah.
Super quick MTB unboxing.
And then we're going to throw the Zoom link up and everybody jump on.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away. We're going to do a quick MTB unboxing. We're going to give away this amazing Ike Live gift bag, Riz. And then we're going to Zoom in a couple people, and we're going to end the show. It's a great way to go out here on a Friday night. Is that cool?
Yeah, you got to roast Dave.
All right, we're going to roast Dave. Yeah. Your job is to roast Dave. If you can. That's going to be hard. You think they could roast Dave?
They could.
I don't know.
I've provided enough.
I don't know. I don't think they could do it. Hang in there with us. When we come back, we're going to be MTB unboxing and live Zooming with you. We come back more Ike Live. Hold on, Wiz.
4.5-inch drop shot worm. Bama bug. Finesse jig. PB&J. Give me something hard. Hey, KVD here. Now, I didn't always know this much about fishing. 4-0 EWG worm hook. In fact, there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between a jerkbait and a stickbait. But then I signed up for Mystery Tackle Box, the original monthly tackle subscription. And now I know more about fishing than I do about Calculus.
And he knows a lot about Calculus.
Plus, I get amazing extras like free fishing magazines. October 2016, featured article, 4 places to throw a frog, exclusive decals,
zombie bass,
and how-to videos for all the great baits I receive. How to tune a crankbait. Is that underwater footage I smell?
I got goosebumps.
So if you're looking to develop enhanced fishing abilities like me, or you just like getting new tackle every month, go to MysteryTackleBox.com and get your box today. Live minnows. Is it lunchtime already? Nature's candy.
Oh. Is he in my pocket?
There's a special place in our hearts for the tools of the trade. They're what we prep for a good day on the water. They're what we clean after a good day in the field. Flambeau's patented Z-Rust technology protects the gear of today from rust and corrosion. Z-Rust, for the performance of tomorrow. Preserve, perform, repeat.
You work hard to catch your fish. TH Marine has two products to ensure your fish survive. The oxygenator injects 100% pure oxygen into your live well. That increases fish survival by 35%. For the perfect combo, add G-Juice live well treatment. It calms fish, stops bleeding, removes ammonia, and replaces slime coat. Get an oxygenator and G-Juice, and keep your fish alive.